If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
During a press briefing yesterday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis compared reopening schools during the coronavirus to the Navy SEALs operation to take out Osama bin Laden. Specifically, he thinks Obama should be in charge of it.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian Sam Jay, whose special Sam Jay 3 in the Morning is now streaming on Netflix. But first, a closer look.
Senator Kamala Harris made her first public appearance as Joe Biden's running mate yesterday, while President Trump and his allies strained to come up with increasingly ridiculous ways to attack her. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Yesterday, Biden and Harris made their first campaign appearance together, and it was a historic moment with Harris becoming the first black woman and the first Asian American to appear on a major party ticket, which sets up quite a contrast with the Republican vice president whose 23andMe DNA profile came back 92% Irish ghost. The other 8% was English ghost. Harris had her first chance to go after Trump as the Democratic candidate for vice president, and she took aim squarely at his response to the coronavirus pandemic.
When other countries are following the science, Trump pushed miracle cures he saw on Fox News.
It's not a miracle. It works. If you chug a full bottle of Pepto-Bismol, stick a hairdryer up your butt and flush a AA battery down the toilet, you can cure coronavirus. If you don't believe me, just ask this Fauci puppet my staff made me because the real Fauci puts me in a bad mood.
Side note here, in case there are any conservatives who hate Watch a Closer Look, I should say, for safety's sake, that AA battery cure doesn't really work. You have to use a 9-volt. Biden announced his pick of Harris via text on Tuesday, and when he heard the news, Mike Pence immediately tried to hide by blending into the background. She can't debate me if she can't see me. At the VP debate in October, Pence is going to send a mannequin and a recorder in his place, Ferris Bueller style, and hope no one notices. Thank you, Senator Harris. Mr. Vice President, your rebuttal. Okay, well, it sounds like he's asleep. Senator Harris, back to you. When the news was announced on Tuesday, Pence tried to put on a brave face as opposed to his usual no face, although I'm not sure bravado is really a posture that works well for Mike Pence.
On the way here, I just heard that Joe Biden named his running mate. California Senator Kamala Harris will be the Democrat candidate for vice president. You all might like to know that the vice presidential debate is going to be held on October 7th in Utah. So my message to the Democrat candidate for vice president, congratulations. I'll see you in Salt Lake City.
Is there anyone in the world with less swagger than Mike Pence? Watching him try to act cocky is like watching an Amish grandpa dance at a wedding. Hey, Macarena. And look, I know Pence didn't pick the debate location, but is there a whiter throwdown in history than see you in Salt Lake City? That's like hearing someone say, why don't we settle our differences at the Williams-Sonoma Instapot aisle, 8 a.m. sharp. because I got Pilates at 9. They really have no idea how to attack Harris. They're flailing. First, they criticize the way Biden made the announcement. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany tweeted, "It's fitting that the man who thinks he can win a presidential campaign from his basement chooses to announce his VP pick online. Sleepy Joe is once again calling it in." Good point, Kayleigh. The internet is just a passing fad. The future is all about network television. Also, did you forget that the guy you work for uses Twitter so much he had his phone surgically attached to his face? Not only did Trump announce his VP pick on Twitter in 2016, the dude even fires people on Twitter because he's too scared to talk to him face-to-face. If Trump ever dumps Pence from the ticket, we're going to find out from a tweet that says, "Can someone ask Mike to bring me a Diet Coke before security escorts him from the building?" Also, this basement talking point is so dumb. Say what you want about the guy, but he's out in public all the time making speeches, riding bikes, driving a Stingray in his aviators like a grandpa who's on the prowl. "Grandpa, where are you going?" "I'm going down to bingo night to meet some ladies. Don't wait up." "Grandpa, it's 3 p.m. Trump is the one who spends all his time haunting his own golf course like the legend of Haggard Vance.
"Eh, it's a slant rhyme, but I'll allow it."
Also, we're all in our basements. It's a pandemic. I spent the first half of the summer talking to the wasps in my attic and the second half befriending a sea captain painting a wooden duck and a fish who keeps asking me for Sudafed.
"Well, I have a cold."
"You don't have a cold, Steve."
"You need help, Steve."
And again, everybody, after tonight, only 4 more shows with all these guys. But just because we love your feedback, we're posting a new poll on Twitter at Sea Captain Polls, where your options will be, "I think the sea captain was a nice addition during a difficult time," or "I hate fun." But Trump and his allies on Fox really think this dumb basement talking point is a political winner. Here's Sean Hannity straining to find something he can criticize about the way Biden announced Harris as his pick.
"And just today, the Biden campaign photographer, look at this. They released a picture showing Joe talking to Kamala Harris. Look at what you see there. There appears to be a script in the picture, and Joe actually has his phone backwards."
Oh my goodness, a script for a politician? What's next, a podium? Look at what you see. Joe Biden appears to be standing behind some sort of tiny wooden house. And why does he have his name on the sign? So we can remember it? At least when Biden uses a script, he can actually read it, unlike a good friend of yours.
"When they gaze upon Yosemite's towering sequoias."
"I want to also thank the Minneapolis Police Department. They have been so incredible."
Minneapolis.
"They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children. Prevent Iran from developing an internet," this is so totally important, "an intercontinental ballistic missile."
I know Trump's a teetotaler, but whenever he's reading off a script, he has the exact mannerisms of a guy who's desperately trying to hide that he's drunk at work. That's why he's always swaying back and forth, even when he's trying to stand still. "As you can see from this slide, quarterly prostitutes," and this is so totally important, "but quarterly profits are at an all-time high. And on this next slide, you can see that I totally love you guys." And then there's Trump, who tried maybe the dumbest attack of all. The only thing he could come up with was complaining that she was too mean to Brett Kavanaugh.
"And now you have a sort of a mad woman, I call her, because she was so angry and such hatred with Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. She was the angriest of the group, and they were all angry."
"She was extraordinarily nasty to Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh then, now Justice Kavanaugh. She was nasty to a level that was just a horrible thing. I thought she was the meanest, the most horrible, most disrespectful of anybody in the U.S. Senate."
These guys love to joke about liberal tears, but they are the whiniest little babies in the world. Trump sounds like he's sniffling to his mom after getting home from the playground. "She was the meanest, most horrible, most disrespectful bully. She gave me a wedgie." Also, you really think that's a winner? She was mean to John Hughes villain Brett Kavanaugh, the guy who looks like he's in a Where Are They Now about the preppy bad kid from Goonies? "My father will turn this entire neighborhood into a country club." Hey, speaking of villains from John Hughes movies, I now have only 1 week left to achieve my summer goal of Steph from Pretty in Pink Hair. It's going to be close, but I really hope I can do it.
"I believe in you."
"You can do it."
"I'm high all the time."
Trump and his allies are flailing as they come up with increasingly absurd attacks on Harris. All they have so far are their usual dumb insults. You know, attacks that are just
meanest,
the most horrible, most disrespectful.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is an Emmy-nominated writer and comedian whose work you know from Saturday Night Live. Her stand-up special, Sam J, 3 in the Morning, is available on Netflix now. Here's my conversation with Sam J.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hey, Seth. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to talk about your special, which I loved, but I also want to talk about when we collaborated, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
When I hosted SNL, you and Gary Richardson wrote a sketch for me. Do you want to describe the premise to everyone?
Well, the premise of the sketch was that you were like an executive for a company and you had dressed up like Cardi B for Halloween, but all you did was the wig and the purse and I think the nails, and everything else was just a man's business suit. So you didn't really commit to the costume. And then you got very frustrated with your employees because they didn't recognize who you were.
it was a lot of fun, and it was a very natural conclusion as to what to write for Seth Meyers. So I appreciate you guys.
It was definitely one of those ones where we were into the sketch, and we're like, in the first blocking, I was like, Gary, I don't know if Seth wants to do this.
No, I swear. I was all in. I was all in.
If anything, he likes this.
I think you were up against my limitations as a performer, if anything. So you, you're a writer on the show, but you, I didn't realize that you had auditioned. That's how they basically found you to join the staff. What did you audition with when you?
Just stand up. That's all I had. So I just and just did my jokes, which was very nerve wracking because that's such a weird space to do just straight comedy in.
Sure.
I imagine it's a weird space to do anything in, but like particularly like comedy, because everyone's just off in a corner, like staring at you, you know?
Yeah, it is definitely one of the hardest rooms I've ever been in. And I can imagine how it'd be particularly tough for stand-up where you're used to doing it for an audience.
Yeah, or at least people that are willing to react. Like, you know, they give you a reaction.
It's a pretty chilly room. So Sam, it was interesting because again, I met you at SNL, and being a writer at SNL, oftentimes you're trying to figure out like what's the voice I can write for this host this week, or how do I find the right thing for this person to say. And I loved watching your special because obviously that is naturally your voice. You know, would have been nothing in that special would have worked in anyone else's. For anyone but you. So what is the difference like when you're trying to write for SNL and write for stand-up at the same time?
I mean, I think it's just, you have to learn how to write for other voices, really. And also kind of like start to watch the cast and really figure out what they like and what type of things they really thrive in. So it's way more collaborative, and like stand-up, we're just all like in a corner being cynical, you know, with ourselves. Yeah. And then, like, improv's so happy. One, it's just such a happier space. And sometimes that was definitely off-putting at first. I was just like, I don't get why everyone's so joyous. And then it's also just learning how to write for 4 and 5 different people and truly cast a piece and choose the right people for the right things.
Of course, the nice difference is I feel like after watching your special, I have a far better sense of who you are. I feel like I know you now. Which is, you know, again, I think what the best stand-up specials do. You called it 3 in the Morning. Why did you come up with that title?
I just really felt like that's where the special got made. I just felt like that's when I was up at the Cellar, like, arguing with Keith Robinson about, you know, who's better, Whitney or Beyonce, or just having some, like, mindless comic fight that would inform a joke or an idea. Or when it was up, when my mind was like stewing on things, or when I was arguing with my girl for being out too late at the Cellar, you know? So it just kind of felt to me like that's where all the sweat equity happened. And I didn't want to call it like she's upset or something, you know? So I was just trying to think of something that felt natural and good and really embodied what the special was for me.
It also feels, you know, I obviously I'm going to assume you didn't shoot it at 3 a.m, but it really has this nice look and feel to it that I think captures the idea of the kind of conversations and kind of things you say when you're with a group of people you feel comfortable with that late in the night.
Yeah, that was also like, I'm glad you picked that up because that was a part of my genius, you know what I'm saying? But no, that was definitely like something that I wanted people to feel. I wanted it to have that old like Red Fox special feel, like this is a late night thing and you're probably going to hear some things that you probably don't want to be playing in the day. But like we're up, we're drinking and it's grown folk talk. You know what I mean? I definitely wanted it to feel like that.
One of the cool things about SNL is you get to work with your heroes sometimes on things that are specifically the reason they're your heroes. I remember getting to work on a Wayne's World with Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and pinching myself the whole time. When Eddie Murphy came back, you got to work with him on Velvet Jones. What was that like?
It was surreal because it definitely was one of those relationships where I used to watch the best of Eddie Murphy SNL tape every day for like a whole summer. And I would just watch those sketches over and over. And Velvet Jones was definitely one that always stood out to me and always made me laugh. So when I got, I was able to do that and like the original writers had came with Eddie to, you know, help him that week. And when they were even like, yeah, this is super funny. It just felt like a weird validation of like, oh, I'm like a good super fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, when you realize, look, you know I'm a fan, but at least I'm the right kind of fan because I understood what was funny about it.
Yeah, exactly. And so that felt amazing.
It was such a fantastic week to watch because it's weird how I just forgot the best thing about Eddie is that all his characters are in a good mood. They're just all happy.
Yeah.
And then you're just, it's just so contagious to watch him.
Yeah. And it was crazy to like watch him get his feet under him. You know, you could tell like when he was first walking around, it was like, this is familiar space, but unfamiliar space. You know what I mean? And then by like Friday, you're in blocking and you're like, oh no, he's full Eddie Murphy. Like he's in it again. And it was kind of cool to just watch him get his legs back under him and get to running. It was great.
You talked about your girlfriend at Fairmount in the special. And you also give her a special thanks and you reference a purple couch. Can you give us the background on the purple couch?
Yeah, well, when I first met my girlfriend, she was like, she had like a business and stuff. So she ran her own business on Auburn Ave in Atlanta. And she was like the first like professional girl I had ever dated. And I was like kind of a super bum. And like I worked at a Starbucks and I didn't even have money to like buy her pizza on our first date. It was like super embarrassing and like all of that. But she was like the first girl that I ever had to like call a doorman had to call up to let me up and any of that kind of jazz. And she had this very uncomfortable purple couch in her apartment that she had purely for vanity and not for comfort in any way. And one night we were sitting on it and she just kind of asked me what I wanted to do with my life. She was like, I just don't feel like this is what you want to be. And, you know, what is it that you really want? And I told her that I wanted to be a comedian. And she asked me why I just don't go do it. And I told her because I was afraid. So she was the first person that I was vulnerable about my dreams with in that way. And to then be able to share doing a special with her, it was just such a full circle, like really touching moment for us.
That's really cool. It's also, I mean, I could say the same about how supportive my wife has been. Of course, the price they pay for being with comedians is we talk about them a great deal when we get on stage. Does she sign off on the things you talk about?
Yeah, for sure. Like I always run things by her. Even if I get up and I just say it without her knowing beforehand, as soon as I get off stage, I'm like, were you cool with that? Would you rather I never said that again? You know, I'm very like particular about checking in with her because I live with her and I have next to her. So I should want to make sure that she's good.
That's a very, you're playing it very wisely. I feel like the best thing to do is say like, hey, here's what I want my special to be. You can veto 3 jokes. And, you know, I feel like if you try to have at least 20 in about them, then 3 is a very fair trade-off.
Yeah, plus my girl, like, she likes for me to talk about her a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, she likes
sure, me. Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, that's, she kind of is into it, depending on what I say.
Well, that would, I mean, I remember saying to my wife, like, what else do you want me to tell jokes about? I literally spend more time with you than anyone.
Right, I don't have any other options. Sometimes it feels bad, like you're mining your, like, partner, but it's like, I'm with you all the time. So, like, I don't know what else to do.
Well, I think we're both very lucky to have understanding partners in that regard.
Sure.
Hey, congrats again on the special, and it's really nice to see you, Sam, and hopefully one of these days I'll bump into you in 30 Rock again.
Yeah, and maybe this Halloween you'll be Cardi B.
I got the wig. Thanks. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.